3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Can't ever front on the king of pop.
You can never front on MJ. Ever.
Not even Beyonce can. Yeah. Ever.
Uh-oh, we gonna do that? We gonna do that? Yo, what up? It's Abstract Square Podcast. This is episode 27.
Woo. Chad, what's good?
I'm out here.
You out here?
Literally.
You rested?
I'm well rested. I'm ready. Monday's a big day for me.
Right?
Yeah,
what's going on Monday?
Yeah,
oh, Monday's that day.
It's that day. As of Monday, I will no longer be unemployed. Mm. I start the new gig. I'm excited.
Dope. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, man. They sent me my itinerary for the week, you hear this guy? Which, yo, honestly, in my entire existence as a professional, I've never had an itinerary for the week, like a true onboarding package. Like, this is what your days will look like Monday through Friday. That has never happened for me.
That sucks.
It's wild.
It's happened to me once, thanks to you.
Word? Oh, man, I'm glad. I mean, for me to be in HR, I've never experienced that shit. So even if it doesn't go as planned, the fact that you have an idea of what you want my week to look like.
Whatever. That's not micromanaging, though?
Nah, it's saying you're being thoughtful about how I'm going to be able to get the best out of my week.
It's also a good way to meet everyone and really interface with them and understand what they're really smart about. And like, it's a
Because then I get to plan mentally how I want to approach every meeting.
Who's this person?
Yeah. I get to like officially plan for it.
Okay.
You know, so I'm out here. What's good with y'all?
I'm out here, you know, doing what you do with the regular job and the side hustle.
Oh, yeah. Always. B sound like you got a little cold right now.
Yeah. You know, I'm recovering, but that don't stop us.
Nasty women.
Yo, you hear him coming before you said? Keep
nasty woman in my dreams, fam.
They are
nasty in my dreams, boy. Listen, doing things you never heard of. Boy, yeah.
What up, TSC? Got your nails done? Ow.
I always got my nails done. Man. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like my cuticles. Like my cuticles ain't always clipped.
Looking crispy.
Yeah, don't do that, man.
Yo, I got a quick question now that we're talking about nails for a quick second. Do you guys believe in the gloss or non-gloss? Because I see Thomas got the gloss.
I don't really.
It's hardener, actually.
See, I don't know.
See, I don't even understand. Because when I go, they say, yo, do you want the gloss?
Well, you want the buff or you want the paint? So I generally believe in the buff. Pause. But from playing basketball as a kid, I used to always chip my nails. So I used to always have them put nail hardener on it, which is essentially like clear polish.
Ah.
Yeah, so don't try to call me. This is actually protective.
Don't come for time.
How often do you go, son?
I want to say once a week, but not so much.
Like, once a week?
Maybe like twice a month now.
All right, I can do that.
Yeah. Maintenance.
Yeah. Self-care is important, you know?
Nah, self-care is great.
What are we getting into today? Yo, what's up? What's going on?
Bum-ass clients? We going to talk about these?
Hey, you got some?
Nah, always. But like I'm just, you know, I ain't going to talk about them today because that ain't the conversation. We should talk about some entrepreneur shit.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm with it.
It's something that I've realized I was thinking on the way over here that all three of us have in common. Some people are okay with living that life. You get your check. You have your 9 to 5.
Right.
You go home. You talk to the fam. You go for a little weekend. You go apple picking. You do whatever you want to do. And you go back to it on Monday.
Wait. Yeah. Did you mean that literally or figuratively?
Nah, I meant literally. You go apple picking on
the fall. It's not a habit.
I mean, you know, you do things on
yeah. With once, the fam. Once in a while.
Once in a while.
Once in a while you want some cider.
Yo.
But there's other people that never touch that. Never seen, you know, a conference room outside of being a vendor or independent.
Word.
And, you know, there's people who are like us who have one foot in and one foot out.
Right.
We got bills. Baby need milk. But we have dreams and aspirations. Like,
and Alexander Wang. And Manola Blahnik.
Nah, that's your problem. That's your struggle.
That's not a struggle.
But it's not a struggle at all. But yeah, I mean, it's something that I think we're all passionate about, but it's tough because there's no sleep squat, right? And y'all been doing this, right? Since how long? Freshman year?
Off and on, because some people started sleeping recently.
Ooh. Oh, he coming for me.
Ooh.
No, I'm sleeping again. Melatonin. You know,
yo, sleep I'm happy schedule. To. I need 7, man.
But I want to get
6 or 7.
You need 6 or 7.
I think that's fair.
That's all I need.
I need 5.
Yeah, I'll say 5 for me.
I can operate off 5.
I'm back on the 5 a.m. flow again.
But, you know, that's why I'm sick, because I've been doing 5 for the past 6 months,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it gets there.
And, like, my body said, nah, fam, chill.
Yeah, it will catch up, especially right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, with the weather shifting, like, you definitely got to drink your water, stay hydrated for sure.
But every time I've done, like, a straight 24, I've done a couple of those. Like, you be up for literally 36 hours.
I don't think I've done a straight, like, 24, but I've definitely done, like, a 21.
I'm telling you, I've done, like, actually, on a project that you and I worked together, I did a couple straight 24s, and then went to the office and came back and did it again. But you always get sick,
yeah,
right? Like, it's not a good, it's not a really healthy thing, but it's also unhealthy not to have those bags keep coming through.
Right.
Right.
Very much so.
Yo, as entrepreneurs, what has been the biggest challenge for you two?
Letting go of that 2-week check. Like, not knowing where that next bag is coming from. I don't trust that. You know, like, it's a trust in myself. The difficult thing is, like, trusting myself to know that I know deep down I could do it.
Yeah.
But, like, letting go and actually saying, you know what, I'm going to find a way or make one is probably my hardest thing right now. It's just like, yo, let go. You know you could do this on your own. You know you could survive, but, you know.
Nah. But the thing is, I think that most entrepreneurs that never fully take a leap, it's not about knowing whether or not they can survive. I think they know they can survive, but survival is just not enough for them.
Right.
Right? Like, knowing that, let's just put a number on it, right? If you're making $5,000 a month or whatever on your, you know, what you call a side hustle, like, you're fully sustainable at that point. But if you're used to making double that, you know, you don't really want to take that step back and just live your dream at that point.
Right. That's why it's always interesting when I hear success stories of entrepreneurs. It sometimes bothers me a little bit. You know, because it's like, oh, how did you get started? Oh, I was on Wall Street. It's like, fam, yo, get out of here. Like, that's not realistic for the rest of us.
So,
the listeners
may not know, but, like, I do this for a living. Like, I spoke to entrepreneurs every day for 2 years, maybe 3 years, and heard those stories. And Wall Street is like an easy one. It's usually my mom, my dad. Mm. They gave me $100,000 to start my business. Oof. And, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, like, we don't come from those kind of backgrounds.
Right. Yeah, like, those stories always bother me, though.
Jewel, while we're here, right? Jewel is, when a startup company usually begins, you need some sort of capital to at least scale a little bit, right? So get your first 100 users. So you usually have friends or family that give you, like, $50,000. Mm-hmm. A lot of investors will never talk to you if you can't get your family to give you $50,000.
Really?
Yeah, that's a fact. Like, why
are they positioning that?
Because in their world, right, the investors that generally have the capital to help you, they come from backgrounds generally that allow you to kind of fork over that kind of cash. Mom and dad can give you that $50,000. So they think it's like a normal thing, right? But when we come to the table and they can't say, hey, you know, my mom has $50,000 for me, it's like, if your mom don't trust you, like, how can I?
So in that world, is that a little bit of privilege, can I say?
It's totally privilege, but it's also like a lack of understanding of, you know, those in the tech space, right? Like, we're only taking up 4%. So the rest of the world, the rest of the class is flourishing because mom and dad got 50 to, you know, help you start a company.
So, can you talk a little bit about that period, right, where you were helping entrepreneurs? What was the program like? How many minorities were in this program? And what were some of the shocking things that you noticed while you were doing this?
I was responsible for growing 30 entrepreneurs monthly and maintaining them on a subscription basis. So at some point, there were about 500 entrepreneurs, and I'd probably speak to 50 to 60 different ones every week. Just to add color to, like, how much I've seen minority entrepreneurs. I've seen minority entrepreneurs that just came home and in the tech business, but I've also seen minority entrepreneurs that just graduated from Harvard.
Wait. Came home as in
prison.
Wow.
Got right? I've seen, like, total different sides of that spectrum all within that group of 500 folks. Yeah. So what a common thing is, the very common thing is, we need money to start. And usually the lineage is, you know, doesn't create that amount of room to fail, which is kind of what Brian is referencing. So they don't succeed. They don't move forward at all. They don't. As much hustle as you may have, it just...
It might be the golden question, but, like, what do you tell an entrepreneur who doesn't have that family base, who has an amazing idea that his immediate fam or people in his circle just don't understand or can't
fathom? It's simple. You got to start your entrepreneurship, obviously, while you're working, but, like, for a long time before.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, while that Wall Street person may have been able to, you know, put away enough money to start his business and leap and did it in a year, like, understand who you are when you first started. You may need to take 5 years to do that.
Right.
It's all about sacrifice. Like, we all can do it. Everyone had to do it at some point of the generation. It's just when you're willing to take that sacrifice. Right. Like, do you need to drive that car? Do you need to eat that food? Do you believe that you can make $1 million in the next 365 days if you put down some of those habits? Like, it just is a thing.
Right. Wow. So what's been the most disappointing thing that you've noticed helping out these entrepreneurs?
Yeah, this is a very simple thing. The thing that I'll say annoyed me the most would be the person that knows it all. The person that's so passionate, and we've seen this in clients that are not like tech entrepreneurs. The person that just has this feeling about how things should be, as opposed to the person that has done the reading, has done the studying, and is kind of trying to give you the game on how things will make your life easier. Granted, you're an entrepreneur. There's a little bit of creativity to that allows you to, like, say whatever you're doing has never been created by anybody, so you have some sort of feeling.
Yeah.
But if I'm telling you these are best practices and you say this is, like, doesn't make any sense at all, then you're bound to fail. It's just not likely it's going to happen.
Right. You kind of see that when you watch, like, Shark Tank.
Yeah.
You ever see, like, the ones that come on and won't even let any of the sharks get a word out?
Those are the ones you don't work with. Like, for a long time, when I watched Shark Tank, I identified with the panel because it's essentially what I was doing.
That was your role, right?
Yeah, I was taking you to the next step so that you can get closer to an investor, possibly. And it's like, if you're a headache, you never got to that next step when I was doing that.
Yo, listeners, we're going to host in December the Square Tank. Thomas is going to be up here.
The Square Tank.
Bring your ideas over here. We'll let you know what's up.
No bag.
Zero bags.
Yeah, bring your ideas and no NDA.
We'll give you a like.
Bring your ideas, no NDA.
Get some likes on
that
Facebook.
That was another frustration. While we're talking about tech a little bit, I know that wasn't the whole conversation, but, like, the idea that everyone needs an NDA is ridiculous. The idea that you believe that your idea is so cutting edge, right, that someone else is going to create it for you instead of you.
That's stupid.
Think about what I just said, right?
Right.
You're fresh. You got the best idea in the world, but someone's going to steal it. Then it wasn't that fresh of an idea.
Oh, yeah.
You're the only one that should be able to create it. Otherwise, it's just not a good idea.
I love that you got on that point. So maybe I got a question about doing something better. Like, we always reinvent the wheel. Some things become original, but at this day and age, we're always slicing and dicing things in different ways to make it better, and we don't know which one's going to pop. You know, of course, you put hard work in and it gets there, but, like, maybe talk about how you see these things being reinvented and you see similar ideas, but someone puts the work in to do it a little bit better. Do you see that often?
Nah, I didn't really see that too often. Nah, not really. I mean, because even having access to the ideas that are cutting edge is a little bit of privilege. Mm-hmm. So, like, everybody in this room knew that payments was going to be a thing 5 to 10 years ago. Yeah. But minority entrepreneurs, they started leverage payments when payments is kind of, like, already shifted, and now banks are already in the payments business.
Right.
The bag came when you were Venmo. You were jumping. You were nimble enough to do what the banks were trying to do, but they weren't nimble enough to do it. Mm. So it's in the minority place, it was very, very rare that I would see someone trying to leverage, like, the most happening tech. And when they did, they usually got a little bit of, like, laughed at because they were too far ahead of the game and they were, like, less motivated. Mm. Like, I had a lot of people that would come talking about VR.
Okay.
Right? Like, five, 6 years ago. And it was like, nobody would hate this VR shit. That's what that's what everybody in their community was telling them. But, like, we knew that VR was going to pop. We knew AR was already, like, there and needed to be fixed a little bit more. Right. But, like, it's tough.
Damn.
Wow. Yo, so I'm thinking about entrepreneurship, right? And also thinking about businesses that I have frequent, right? Of small business owners that have shops in the neighborhoods that I live in. I've always been disappointed with entrepreneurs who just don't put forth the right effort.
It's the taste level that you have. It's not about their effort. They don't know that their effort is necessarily going to yield a better experience for you. They think that this is good enough. That it's just a taste level. I promise you that.
Or they just don't give a fuck, right? Like, someone who has a high taste in
a Brian, brand. I'll stop you there. They may not know to give a fuck. That's my point that I'm making.
Yeah. I hear you.
That's wild, you know, because I went to a black-owned juice bar on Thursday. And I ordered my food, and I sat there for 30 minutes waiting on it. And no one said anything to me. And when I finally looked at the guy who took my order, my lunch was sitting on the counter for maybe the last 20 minutes. And I'm like, yo, during that time, if I'm a business owner, I have to say something. I have to say, yo, my bad, or here's a smoothie on me. Let's do a ginger shot. Like, there was no apology. It was just like, yo, here's your food.
Not everyone that owns a business is ready to be in business, for real. A lot of times people become business owners because they have no alternatives. A lot of times they become business owners because all their family were business owners, right? So, like, not everyone is going to be in a service business that's looking to create the best service business.
But that's wild, especially in today's climate, because not only are you competing with people in the neighborhood, but there's Uber Eats. Like, I can literally order food 3 or 4 towns over from me now, and I will get it in less than an hour. So you have to look at, if you're a business owner, right, you clearly did a SWOT analysis at some point to get this loan, if that was the case, I'm sure. But you got to say to yourself, oh, shit.
Definitely didn't do a SWOT, just to let you know.
Nah, because when I looked for a loan, don't laugh, because when I looked for a loan, I had to do one.
Right.
A business loan. It's a real thing.
No, it is a thing to present a plan.
Yeah, you have to present a plan. Yeah. And, like, it sounds wild, because the last time I did one, I was in, like, college, right, in B school. But when I walked to the bank and I was like, yo, I'm looking for a loan, what's the process? The first thing that the lady asked me was, where's your business plan?
So, all right, so I don't want to talk too financial, but for the listeners, not even for you, right? For your first business loan of $50,000, you should never be writing a business plan if it's 50 grand. Like, your credit score should just say, give me the 50 grand, more than likely.
Yes, but that's not, yeah, the, no. But if you need 50K, just go do that shit on your own.
Right. That's the point that I'm making. Like, it should not be like a real struggle for 50 grand. Like, and that's usually what you'll need for most of the businesses that we're creating as minority owners. Like,
right.
And to take it to another level, if you're building something bigger than that and you think it's like cutting edge, you're trying to build another Uber, like, you definitely don't need a business plan.
Right. No. you need a pitch.
You need a pitch, and you need a product, more importantly. Forget the pitch. Like, you need proof of concept. More than anything else.
Right. Yeah, so I say all that to say, like, yo, you're competing. You have to know that there is another juice bar that's serving the same fucking fruits as you and vegetables. You have to compete. So why are you not doing everything you can to be the best juice bar in the neighborhood?
See, but you could ask someone the same thing about anything else.
Yeah, right? And I'm saying you are very hard on service, right? You don't have no leeway.
No, my wife and I, Danny and I, are both hard on service. She's actually harder than me, because you know what she did? She wasn't even there. I told her about the situation. She wrote the Yelp review. I wasn't going to write it.
Please, people, don't write Yelp reviews.
No, please write Yelp reviews.
No, not negative Yelp reviews. So this is my gripe with Yelp. My gripe with Yelp is, as a business owner, most folks are not going to write a positive review.
I do.
It's kind of rare. It's skewed to those that are going to be negative.
Yeah, but I think the super users of Yelp are the ones who write positive and negative.
Right.
You'll notice them, because I forgot there's like a tag, because they're marked as like a super user.
They've done it X amount of times. Yeah.
But I think Danny is a super user.
Gotcha.
So
she's one of those.
Yeah. She'll write a positive.
Those influencers.
Yeah. She's like a super user. And so
also, just on the Yelp tip, please Google Yelp, like, and what Yelp stands for. You'll find some amazing articles on how bad Yelp is for small businesses.
Yeah. Well, the only way to conquer that is by great service.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. Know, like,
so and you have to be smart enough as a user to say, okay, this business has 4 stars, and out of the reviews, the majority of them are positive and the ones are negative, right?
Right.
You know, you have to be, it's almost like the Starbucks situation, right? It's like, yo, you're looking at what a employee did versus what the company did. It's two different things.
Right.
So you just have to be smart enough to understand, okay, is this still worth visiting or not? Right. But in this case, the juice bar, it was just like, yo, first off, I ordered a honey jerk. What the fuck is honey jerk? Chicken, first off. And then when I got the honey jerk chicken, it was nothing but this jerk sauce that you could find in any grocery store. Just sweet jerk. Yeah, sweet. It was.
Whoa. Yeah. Yo. You gotta put an air horn on that one. You can't pause to that one. Sweet jerk is crazy.
Yeah. So it was. I don't know. I feel a certain type of way as a business owner myself, right? Even though I'm part time, that person's full time. It's just. I put myself in their shoes and I say to myself, if this was my business, there's no way I could let that type of shit fly.
You're also like a designer. So
you're
like,
different, right?
You're very detail-oriented.
Oh, no, man. I got a soft spot for black-owned businesses. Like, I let shit slide because...
And you're right, B. You know, that's why
And I'm not saying you're wrong,
no,
right?
No, you're right. That is the primary reason I decided not to write the Yelp review is because I said it was a black-owned business, but... Danny, and I agree with her, she said, yo, first, okay, you fucked up on service, but hopefully your food is good. But then she's like, wait, it wasn't even edible because it was so spicy. My forehead was sweating through every bite.
What you mean so spicy? That's how it's supposed to be.
No. Keep in mind, Danny is West Indian. So
she tried it?
She tried it. And she was like, yo, I couldn't eat it. I had to toss it out. She's like, yo, this is not real jerk chicken. Like, this is not it. So first, the service sucks, and it's not even edible. There's no way I can let this shit fly. She said the business owner got back to her and said, "Can you please email me?"
So I'm on the other side of that with black businesses. I'm very critical of a black business as opposed to like letting things fly, because I feel like there's no growth in me walking out of this thing after I've had a bad experience. I'm always going to be a gentleman with my conversation, be really, really nice to who I'm speaking to. But if you don't know things are going wrong, you don't grow, you don't do better.
Right. And so when I say let shit slide, it doesn't mean I'm walking out not saying nothing or not checking people, you know?
Like, I'll pay the tab this time.
Right. It's like, exactly. Like, I'll actually pay. You know
Yo,
what I'm
but go ahead, B. I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, that's all. Like, it's like, I'm still going to give you my money. Like, in other places,
yeah,
I'm not paying for this. Or right. I need my money. Oh, I need this removed from the bill immediately.
Like, yo, and that's what I was upset about when I walked out is because, you know, when you get it to go, there's a line for tip.
Yeah.
You are giving them tip before you've even finished getting the service or the food.
So okay. I generally will not patronize that place. Generally, that place is not for me. If they've already included.
No, they didn't include it. There's a line for it. You know, you get the receipt and it's totaled plus tip and whatever. And I was upset because I left them a $5 tip. And then I ended up not getting my food for 30 minutes later.
Wow.
So I was upset. Yikes. So on top of spending, you know, $25, you know, I walk out and I couldn't eat any of the food.
You know, speaking of tips, pause it now. My coworker was in town from from the UK, and she was like, "What the fuck is this? Like, what is this tipping and like calculating and all that stuff? Everything is included in the bill and the service. You get your service, you get your food." And you walk the fuck out.
Right.
There's no gauging of how well or how bad a person did. Now, granted, if something's terribly off, you don't pay for it or you argue that with a manager. But the U.S. is one of the only systems that really go hard on this whole tipping.
That's a fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really weird, actually.
That's crazy. Like that. Yeah. I mean, and as business owners, you know, you're right. Because as a creative, right, I look at how things are designed and placed when I walk into a small business. It's important, right? Because especially for our black business owners, because we're competing. You know, there are certain towns where they're pushing business owners out and bringing in business owners who have a better aesthetic and product. So they'll raise the rent so you can no longer afford to pay it and then bring someone in that can afford to pay it who has a better look and feel with the exact same product.
That is so complicated.
Sounds like gentrification to me.
Yeah.
It is. But and that's my thing is, yo, why are we not, as black business owners, and I'm generally speaking here, is why are we not putting forth the effort? Why are we saying to ourselves, yo, let me go handle the design? If you're not a designer, then you should not be handling the design.
Because you got a dream.
I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you. Yeah. And I don't like.
It's really stupid.
I know what you're saying, right? And I still don't like it because I know there's examples that are doing that, you know, that have that. And when you say shit like that, like, why are we not, you know, I don't want to generalize that
we
to say.
We have to. And
you can't generalize it because there's plenty of black-owned businesses that are doing that thing, hiring designers, making sure that the aesthetic is right.
Right.
I understand it's less than the majority.
Let's go to Newark.
Well, that's my point. Like, one of my big dreams was to help small business owners, like, step forward and become more beautiful.
Yeah.
Just so that the neighborhoods look more beautiful, right? So, yeah. Like, if the bodega doesn't have, like, sandwiches on the awning and, like, you know, candies and cigarettes on it, like, maybe this block looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's like, all right, what can you really do when the priority is to fucking keep the lights on, right? Some people may have the capital to put into marketing and hire somebody that makes it look better. As an entrepreneur, you're trying to get shit done the best way you know how,
you
right?
You can't afford not to have that kind of expertise.
Right. You can't.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't get that when they're going into it, right? Like, so that's where my soft spot is. It's like, I get it, right? I know that, like, all right, you get in here, unexpected cost or whatever you didn't budget for, shit happens, right? I need an oven. I need a cash register. I need motherfucking lights to be on, right?
Right. But then you talk to the right person and you eliminate the cash register. You allow your users to, or your patrons to use Apple Pays and, Android Pays and... But if you don't know these things, you literally go to get a cash register and you look crazy out here.
Yo, it's
saran wrap all over the shit.
It even gets more simple than that.
$10 minimum.
It gets more simple than that. I got a friend that just started a business and she handed me her business card and I literally just like cried laughing. Like,
hey, yo, listen.
She's definitely one of our listeners. Like,
moo.com.
Yo,
yeah,
moo yourself.
Com.
Yo, I was like,
come holla at me too, though.
What is this loose leaf? Like, like, are you giving me loose leaf?
Yo, she gave you a post-it.
She was like,
though?
Thomas, I know. I thought it'll be okay. I just needed this for this.
Ew, papyrus final.
But
there,
the point is, it's not even a.
Right.
Yo. Yo, when your logo looks like the Patron logo, like, just yeah. know you got a problem.
Never. Never.
Nah, but the point is, you got to present yourself in a certain way. You don't come outside looking nasty with, like, dirty shoelaces. So why do you have hoagies on your awning? Like, it just...
Right. I think it's the research part, right? I don't think a lot of people do enough research into all of that, right? You think you can put something together and throw it up, but brand matters. Everybody's looking at things now.
Right.
And it's a new level. It's a new
And then you evolve. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're looking at the same logo you had 5-10 years ago, that's a problem for me. Like, I've evolved my personal brand every 2 or 3 years.
You've evolved as a person, period.
Right, yeah. Like, so your brand should evolve. You know what I'm saying? Like, at one point, you know, my logo was wild, right? It expressed where I was at that time. Now it's much cleaner. You know, I'm much more mature.
Refined. Fucking bitches and Henny.
I'm saying. Nah, but like even let's even think about the juice bar, right? Specifically, like, you gotta have a certain aesthetic for me to feel comfortable going into your juice bar.
You know,
it gotta feel real, real clean because you're dealing with fruits and vegetables, and I'm not about to be in this nasty looking place.
You know, and it's not in a bad neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's in a predominantly white neighborhood, black owned, which is, I thought, was pretty dope.
I don't like that statement, though. Like, what did that have to do with anything? Like, the race, like, how did that contribute?
Because
to
there are other businesses in the area that they're competing against that are not black owned.
But so, like, what does race have to do with the quality of the business?
Because typically what you see happen in these cases is we don't look as up to par as other businesses.
I think that...
I know that, and it sounds wild for me to even say that, but...
I think you're just frustrated because if you go to Atlanta in black communities, you'll see some beautiful businesses. You go to Maryland, D.C., you'll see some beautiful businesses. Like, depending on the level of affluence in the community, you'll see some different aesthetic in the businesses. Like, don't assign it to the race. You can assign it to the economics.
Okay. I can agree with that.
But,
all right. So let's look at your neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, my neighborhood is very mixed.
Look at my, you can look at my neighborhood.
Yeah.
The block is hot over here by where I am. And I mean, it's changing, but I still haven't seen the aesthetic from any race, any, right. you know, like yeah. any other background. And I don't know what, I mean, it's, I think it's survival.
You
know,
but there's places near you that oh, are yeah. so beautiful and they don't take on this like really clean, like they, it's just a it, I don't even know how to say it. It just takes on a feeling of the community yeah. more than like this really high level commercial feeling thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that probably more than yeah. a lot of
and
other
that's,
things.
And that's okay. If you're taking on a look and feel of the community, if it's headed in the right direction, right. then I think that's the best way, right? Because you could have this really great brand in storefront, but if it doesn't align with what the community is looking for, then it will not work.
So, you know, there's one thing we talk about, brand, right? Agreed. Another thing that's not working for me is the presence on the internet, online. Like, I'm noticing more and more now that, like, I patronize businesses that have that step taken care of. Mm. It's something that like I took for granted earlier, but now it means a little bit more because I see it as that marketing, that brand, and that savviness. Like
yeah.
if you're savvy enough to take care of that stuff, I think a little bit higher of the business. It might be wrong for me because I know someone not on the internet or doesn't have a presence might be the greatest business, you know,
right.
on earth. But it's something that I see as an entrepreneur that needs to get handled. Like, is your website all right? And that's what I'm asking of you, Thomas. Like, all right, we just talked about brands and like how more and more now brand evolution, right. brand identity, brand equity matters, right? Does that online presence have to match? Like,
totally.
Definitely. For most businesses, I think there are certain businesses where it totally like it totally you shouldn't have
yeah, any it'll vary by all. Industry, right?
Like yeah, certain things I would say off the internet altogether, like very, very niche businesses, very, very high end businesses, like don't be online at all.
Right.
But for general commerce, like, yeah, and, I mean, we all know this in this room. We'll share it with the users. Like, if it's too cheap, like, just don't do it. If it feels too good to be true, if they tell you something's $10 a month, like, you right. probably shouldn't do it.
Right,
right.
Like, that'll completely degrade your brand.
Yep.
Period. Like, you probably don't even have the software in your computer to create a brand to really fit the kind of business that you want to show off.
Right. You can't go to, like, 99-cent logo.
Yeah.
.com.
You just can't.
Yeah, you can't go to Kinko's for your business cards.
Now, granted, there are people that have done it and they have successful businesses, but they probably could be a lot more successful
right.
had they taken the proper steps. And, right. and for any listeners, like, we're available to help for the bag. So,
yeah. So I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, we have a couple of people who
yeah.
are experts absolutely. In the creative world and experts in the entrepreneur world. So
I would say our entire circle can help you at something. At something. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and even bigger than that, right? We all should be able to continue to help each other.
Right.
In order to progress. Like,
yeah, I think for y'all here in the room and even the listeners that know me personally, they come to me and they be like, Chad, I know you're about to tear my shit up.
Yeah.
But I need your thoughts on if this looks good because they know I'll be honest with them.
Very honest. And that step right there, I mean, means the world to me and knows that lets me know that person is very interested in, you know,
right.
evolving and getting better.
Yeah. Right? And I think if you're a business owner, you should be doing that. I don't care how successful your business is, but you should always be going to some sort of consultant
yeah.
that can weigh in and say, hey, I think you should be doing this. It's so funny that we mentioned that because I literally had dinner with a friend last night who wrote a book. And he wrote a children's book for like ages, I would say 10 to 14. And he wrote this book and he paid for an editor to come in and basically like trash it.
And, that's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and that's tough too because yeah. you finish writing this book and the editor is checking him like, why is this? Why do you say this so many times?
Because
why
you
is
have this? To know what you know how to do.
Right.
You know your strengths.
Say that again, though.
Know what you know how to do.
Say
right.
that again.
It's like we live editing. In a DIY world right now, but like DIY your idea for the most part, but like don't DIY the whole project.
Yeah, and I think back to your point, like right? Like,
right.
I think the smartest person in the room knows that he or she knows very little, right?
Right.
And has mm-hmm. a lot to grow. And that's the part that like I keep telling myself, like, nah, fam, you don't know how to do this, you know?
Right.
Continue to learn, continue to kind of seek that. Now, there's a guide and an instinct that you have, right? But still, like, throughout the way, you got to get that feedback.
Yeah, call it that, though. That's perfect. It's a guide and an instinct. It's not a profession. Right. So use that guide and that instinct to, like, share with the person that's assisting you so they can, like, point you in the right direction rather than just...
Right.
But also, like, I want to keep it real also, especially when you're starting something from scratch that's never been started before. Like, yes, you're going to hack your way and, like, not spend a lot of money because you really don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You're going to have so many iterations that you can't afford to necessarily, like, pay someone to do the high-level work because you're just not there yet.
Right.
So, like, don't get me wrong. Like, we're not saying, like, from day one of your idea, pay someone X amount of money to take your idea to the next level. You do need to put in some groundwork. You do need to make some mistakes. You do need to learn.
Right.
But there is a point in time when you're going out as a commercial entity,
yeah,
that you'll need to, you know,
yeah,
involve,
you know,
other folks.
For me as a designer, when I was helping small businesses out, part of the frustration is they would not listen. You know, like, you,
it's their baby.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I would be doing a brand identity for someone, and they'd be like, can you make my logo look like this logo? And I'd be like, no.
Did I ever tell you the white story?
No.
I was helping a lady with a website. Actually, a great friend. And she's like, this is white, but can you make it like white?
What you mean white? Like,
you know, like, you know,
culturally,
like,
white?
No, no. You know how, like, Apple is white? Like, yeah. I want, like, an Apple aesthetic, right?
Okay.
Like, mind you, this is, like, her restaurant that is now a Cracker Barrel. So, like, it was a Sizzler, turned into her restaurant, and then turned into a Golden Corral, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Okay, so, like, this white Apple kind of thing, like, didn't fit, right?
Got you.
But she said white.
I said, white.
I said, you
white?
Mean, like, FFF?
So, FFF is a color code, yeah, for those who
shout
don't
out
know.
Shout out to the designers. We got that right away, but yeah.
Yeah, so that was that was part of the reason I stopped designing for a while, because I would get frustrated with trying to sell an idea to someone that just didn't understand where the design trends were going.
Can I tell you where that comes from?
Sure.
So I learned this from talking to entrepreneurs. When they say it's their baby, you have to think about it as if it's like your physical living child is who their business is to them.
No, and I get that, right? But I also believe that if
nobody's telling you how to raise your child.
Yeah, but if you're taking your car to the body shop and they say you need to do this in order for it to run,
right?
Why we listen then? So.
Well, you should listen also when it comes to raising a child to a certain extent, right? There are professionals that assist you with that. I'm just telling you that that's their
right.
That's their attitude. It's like, no, this is my baby, and it's gonna flash.
And also, I mean, I'll challenge you on, like, yo, get in your creative bag. Like, you can sell some shit, but you got to sell it with
right,
confidence.
And, I think. You know, you're right, B. That is another part of it. And I'll be honest, that was something I got tired of doing, was selling.
I had somebody on my team before, and my thing that I had to stress to him is that it's all about education. It's not even necessarily selling, right?
Right.
When someone is annoying you, you have to make them feel as if they just got smarter. And once they get smarter, then they start to trust you for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And you ain't out really. You got no patience to give anyone education.
you don't play on nobody's ego.
No.
But that was my challenge, because it's like, yo, you're asking for things that just don't make sense. You can't have five colors in your logo. You know, you can't have sparkles in this shit. It's just not aesthetically pleasing.
But you could do the education, right? So it's like, well, when you print this, it's not going to give off the same blah, 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 blah. Have you ever seen blah, blah, blah look like blah, blah, blah?
Right.
Who do you love? You love them? Well, guess what? You love them, but they don't look nothing the way that you want to present yourself.
Right. Yeah, I tried that with a client you gave me, and that shit failed.
Oh, she was horrible.
Yeah.
Is she a listener?
Maybe. You never know. I don't speak to this person. But
man.
Did you get paid?
I got my no, I didn't. Well, yes and no.
Okay.
It was a deposit.
Right.
We never finished the project.
Sorry. At least it was, you know what, though? Also, another little bit of game. Get enough deposit that you don't have to finish the project.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact. I wasn't tripping because I did enough work that would suffice the deposit.
If it goes there, then
Right.
Get enough. And you know what? And that's not like a pompous thing. I know people take it like it's a money thing. Nah, right.
That's a time thing.
It's a time thing. It's a running your business. It's a respecting yourself thing.
Yeah. And I also would say be confident in your product.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because
Shadow charge ass.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when I first got into design, I felt like I was doing the Frank Lucas like strategy, you know, great product, low price, you know, like.
So you giving turkeys out of Thanksgiving? Right there.
That's what you doing? Stay right there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that was my approach. And then.
Rule number one, entrepreneurship, low price is only for Walmart.
Yeah, and there's no smiley faces over here.
For real, like no rollbacking, like it's not real.
Yeah, so when I met Danny, my wife, who's a designer, she was like, yo, how much are you charging? She said, yo, you out here fucking up the game, son.
I bet you said
so the way. And that's when he fell in love. Yo,
he was like, word?
That's when he fell in love, but like, that's real, though.
Yeah, she's like, yo, you're bugging right now. Like, this is really what you charging? And now, at the time, I'm like, yo, this is basically how I built my clientele.
Right.
Was because of the prices and the quality of the work.
Knowing you fucking up the game for everybody else. Every other designer.
But.
And then the way to qualify that is you're building somebody's dream. Like, yeah. You're going to charge somebody $3,000 when they're going to make $5 million in the next 2 years?
Right.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
I know. I think the designer who did the Nike logo was charged like $25, something wild like that.
Yeah, I mean, think about when it was back then.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
still
wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and so now, yo, I say my number and I don't blink.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's what it's gonna take for me to one step away from my family.
Yeah.
Take that time and lose sleep to make sure that you get a quality product. This is what it's going to take.
You know, it also takes a lot of, like, conversation before project begins. Like, I don't think people really believe in that. People get so ready to collect that deposit or get that contract signed that they don't do enough. They don't have enough conversation prior to beginning the project.
Right.
Like, this is what you should expect. You know what it's like? It's like you're onboarding.
Yeah.
Like, you need to fully onboard a client and not just, like, say, trust me.
Right. Because
they're never going to trust
you.
Yeah.
Yep. So, bro, charge. Charge the prices for what your product brings to the table.
We'll say it in a nicer way. Be fair to yourself when you're assigning a budget for a client.
Be fair to yourself.
I mean, it's time, you know. A fact, dead ass. Like, when you value the work that you give, factor in the time for yourself. You know, because, like, I feel like I'm going through this right now where I don't factor in enough time for myself. Like, during off-peak hours, which means I'm not working or not sleeping, whatever that is, I'm scheduling blocks of time, but I'm not scheduling time to take care of my mental space, go to the gym, do my laundry, see the family. And, like, those are things that it's costing me now. It's costing me sleep, you know?
Right.
But I need to value those hours, too.
For what you do, B, how often do you negotiate?
A lot less now. So before, I used to negotiate more because same thing as you as early designer, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really value or put my work at the right value. And so I would negotiate. I'd have something and I'd be like, okay, well, maybe we can do this and maybe we can do that to get the gig, to get the job, to get the exposure. Now, it's all relative, right? Like certain opportunities, like, yo, I'm shooting for very little.
Right. You know?
More other opportunities, I'm staying there. But, like, I don't really negotiate anymore. Now it's about time because I've seen what it's done to my body.
Right.
I've seen what it's done to my mind, you know? And also seeing, like, me underestimating time that's spent. You know, like, usually I can say, okay, I'll shoot something. I can knock it out the night of and get it back to that person.
He'll tell us this shit and just not be available.
Right. Right.
Yo, let me ask y'all a question. How do you feel about celebrity clients?
I mean, celebrity clients, for me, it's
like,
one of those...
do you give them a deal or are you like, nah, fam, I need...
Nah, because...
Run it up.
Here's the thing. Like, I've learned my lesson.
Yo, don't you hate that stupid-ass statement?
Exposure.
Yo, what? Expose these. What?
Yeah. Exposure. And celebrities have the leverage to take advantage of that, right? Very much so.
I did that one time for a celebrity.
I remember you losing your mind with one.
Which one?
It was just a Wikipedia kind of thing. You were losing your mind.
Oh, my God. We're not about that one.
We're not adding people today?
I forgot who it was. Something.
He's a writer, but he's like broke man, like going crazy.
It was at the time. He was like a really...
He was popping at that point.
Yeah, he was popping producer, writer at that time. I forgot who it was, but literally wanted me to like create his Wikipedia page and... It's fucking losing my mind.
Mind you, if anyone, well, most people are not going to know this, but that shit is mad annoying. Because it's mad, you got to cite everything, right? Yeah. So, like, it's.
You got to source and.
But I got a little piece of change for that, even though I don't think I. I think I sourced some of the work out.
Right.
Because I didn't have time.
Here's my question. It's relative to what you're saying, right? So most people are going to assign a value to what they're doing based on the market rate, right?
Yeah.
If you're. Working a full time job, and we'll call your—I don't like saying side hustle. I'll call it your second, your other business.
Yeah.
Like, how do you assign your value? Because your value is not the market rate.
Well, for me, or this is my case. I asked friends in the industry, and I reached out to other people who were doing similar things or the same thing, for the very reason why other people get upset. For the reason why Danny came in and was like, what the fuck are you doing? I came to them and said, hey, I'm not trying to fuck this game up that we have. Like, I know I have ways to go, but like, what should I be charging? Like, what's a good lane for me? And that almost comes into like the mentor mentee type of thing. Yeah. And that's how I got like what I should be charging.
Which is fair. I think that's the fair way to do it.
Yeah.
But I think, all right, so let's just use Chad since he always uses us, right?
Right.
For Chad, if I'm Chad, I'm charging a lot more than my competition. Just because I know I don't have the patience to deal with things at a normal rate. So, like, if I'm not going to mention business, I ain't going to say that. But, like, it takes his time and he really, like, is passionate about his clients. And if they don't give the same energy, he's going to be really frustrated.
Yeah.
So, like, for you, like, maybe you need to charge that plus 0.2 or something like that. Like, in order, I think everyone should know what their tolerance is for the client.
Yeah, and then that's why there's some projects I don't take.
Right.
You know, like, I don't mess with the music industry no more.
Yeah.
When it comes to the music industry, if you got a project, do not holler at me.
You've been like that for, like, 10 years. But then the bag starts to come, too, with it, and it's like, you know what? My tolerance says that if I can make 10K in 2 weeks, I'm going to deal with it. Yo, but then it's like, yo, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
I think that's the industry as a whole and the people that are in that industry.
Yo, like, it's just a thing. I remember someone wanted me to do a logo and wanted to look similar to the Rockefeller logo. And I'm like, that's just not how this works.
And then somebody coming at you?
Yo, it's just not how this works. Like, no, you create your own lane. You know what I'm saying? You come into the game looking for something similar to something that's already established. That is fucking whack to me.
Part of my game like 5, 6 years ago, maybe even 7, was like, whatever you're going to give me to do, I'm going to figure out how to do it. And that's how I like drummed up my business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one dude came through one day. He's like, yo, I like what you've been doing. Can you make toilet paper for me?
What?
I want it so that, this is music industry shit, right? I want it so that when people go to their hotel rooms for the concert, they're already taking the shit. They see my logo coming over and over and over. Yo.
Doing a lot.
Yo, people are nuts, yo.
Doing a lot.
Oh, man.
You got to source toilet paper? Because I don't really want toilet paper from China. I want good toilet paper.
I want yo, fire.
Yo, this is real stories, though. Like,
oh, man. We out here.
I can't believe you.
What about the other guy I went to go visit? Another client Chad and I worked on. The three of us worked on together. I go to go, like, visit him. I'm thinking I'm in his office. I'm fully in his loft. It's for, like, nothing but weed in there. He has no shoes on. Oh, he has another meeting booked. There's a huge dog in there. We got the bag, but like, why don't ever want to be in a meeting next to like a Doberman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever.
I am not your guy for the music industry plug. So, you know, it's funny because I'm excited about next week. We got someone from the music industry coming.
We do.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
He going to shit on him too. He did.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
It's not what it seems.
How long? I'm not, whatever. Yo, when is Homegirl coming back? Because a lot of our listeners have told me that they hated her.
Who?
What's her name? Yeah, what's her name?
You talking about Melanie?
Melanie. Hey, Melanie.
Why did they hate?
Oh, they hated her?
Why did they hate?
Because they said she was sexist.
Word?
Against who? Men?
Yes, men. She says she wants an all-female government.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so she got some heat.
Yeah, we're going to get her purple ass out of here when she comes back. Melanie, okay. You heard? Oh, yo. you too, okay. IG user. Oh. You can pull up, too.
Okay. Thomas got heat out.
Yeah, pull up.
Wow.
See? Talk that duality shit. Some people all about these entrepreneurs.
Ooh, we got that energy.
Some people can't. Ooh. Yo. Some people believe women can't be sexist, so.
Oh, man, that's a whole nother discussion we need to hold.
And black people can't be racist. That's the dumbest shit ever in my life.
Wow.
It's the same idea. We got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, we got to get really quick, though. I want to try this again. If you could tell your 18-year-old self about the business you're running today, what would you tell them?
Get your tax stuff in order.
Oh, shit. Yo, please, like, bombs for that one. That's fire.
I'll say it again. Get your tax stuff in order.
That's fire. How do I come behind that?
I wish.
Yeah, go ahead, Thomas, because I don't know. That was
because the government going to come for you. They're going Uncle Sam coming.
I want to say learn the code, but it's deeper than that. But I'll leave
ooh,
it to learn the code.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
Yeah.
It's a very good one.
You can't speak to an engineer without a certain level. And Brian will understand this fully without understanding at least what's going on in the environment at a minimum. So
yeah. I would say if I could tell my 18-year-old self about the business I'm running today, ask for help.
True.
And be humble.
Yeah, well, I'm feeling this new segment, fam.
You like it?
I like it.
I'm gonna come prepared next week, though.
Yeah. I'm out here with this new segment.
All right, y'all. It's Abstract Square, episode 27. Thank you for listening. Whew. Please check us on SoundCloud, iTunes.
Don't forget Deezer.
Deezer, Spotify. Hit us on Facebook, Instagram, and please tell your friends and family to check us out. Holla.